Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with my friend Casey Bubba at Beaniantric on the Twitter machine. Casey, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. A beautiful weekend upon us. Another week dodging the Rona. So life is good on my end. What about you?
I mean, I miss you. You know, this is it now. This is the only thing that we're doing now. So
yep. Don't make me start crying. It's we just started the show. This is gonna, like, people come here for fart jokes and laughs. They don't need me to start crying already.
That's right. That's right. So, well, look, we've got a perfect topic to kick this off because the Welsh and I actually were in a disagreement about something. I know, that's surprising
shocker.
For everyone to hear.
Really shocker.
Yeah, Welsh and I disagreed on something, but this is the question I have for you, and it's football related, of course. It's who is dumber? And the Welsh and I disagree, so you are the tiebreaker. It is one of these two. It's either the Bears are dumber because during the 2017 draft process, they never once spoke to Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, the guy that just led Clemson to the national title game and beat Alabama and stopped all of that stuff. That guy they did not talk to before selecting Mitchell Trubisky at 2 overall. I don't know if they talked to Pat Mahomes at all. He was in the same draft class. Obviously, they didn't get him either. So there's that. Or are the Seattle Seahawks dumber for offering Russell Wilson to the Browns for the number one overall pick in 2018, that offer was on the table, and the Browns decided to not take it. So it's a tough decision here between these two. Obviously, the Browns could have had a franchise-level quarterback that they haven't had in forever since Bernie Kosar. And,
oh, wow. Way back machine.
Right. And the Bears could have not taken Mitchell Trubisky at 2 overall and taken Deshaun Watson, who has led the Texans to the playoffs many times now. So this is a tough choice, but these are the choices that you've been given, Bubba. So you tell me, who is dumber between these two?
Are we picking the Seahawks or the Browns for not doing it?
Well,
I'll clarify.
Okay. That's a good question. I think it has to be, we said the Seahawks because
okay, so,
the Seahawks offered the trade.
Okay, because if I had to pick between those two, the Browns are the dumb ones for not doing it. I understand the number one overall pick and everything. You think you might have a franchise quarterback for 15 years. You could have Russell Wilson for 4 or 5 with the pieces you have in place. That looks pretty good for me for a team that I think at that point in time still had their Bud Light machines locked up. So that seemed like a great idea. But in the grand scheme of things, for me, it's the Bears. I've said this from day one. I never understood the Mitchell Trubisky love. This is when I used to watch a lot more college football than I do now. North Carolina wasn't good. Mitchell Trubisky wasn't good. I know the ACC wasn't great, but at least he had Deshaun Watson in the same. It's not like they didn't see the guy play. Like you said, he beat Alabama. He played in the same conference as Mitchell Trubisky. So they might have crossed paths at least once. Just throwing out their guess. I don't know. But I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears on this because you said the Browns are still looking for a franchise quarterback. The Bears, since Jay Cutler, they're still looking for a franchise quarterback. And, God, they could use one when you have the talent they have on offense. A little more tact under center might go a long way for them. I am going the Bears as the dumber. I hope I'm on your side, but I'm not sure.
Now, okay, you are on my side, by the way. We're okay. The same person. Like, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, it's free. All you got to do is interview the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, interview him, get a good meeting with him going, something. You don't have to take him, but you do have to cross him off the list, I think, is kind of what it is. And It's just you're a franchise looking for a quarterback, and you don't do the due diligence of the best players at the top of that class is just unbelievably ridiculous to me. Like the Seattle Seahawks, this is my point I was saying with the Welsh, they had to pay Russell Wilson so much money that it makes sense he hamstrung them. That's why Jadeveon Clowney didn't re-sign, and he's still a free agent. You know, obviously he's holding out for a lot of money, but the Seahawks have problems on both sides of the line, the defensive line and the offensive line right now, because Russell Wilson's making all the money. He's the $31 million cap hit this year. So it just doesn't make, you know, that trading him, even though he's won the Super Bowl and brought the franchise to the highest peaks that it's ever been to, I understand them offering him out if they're going to get the number one overall pick, because then they get, you know, as long as they don't pull a Bears and interview all five of those guys from the 2018 draft, where it was Baker, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson.
Could you imagine Lamar replacing him with their, like, they could have gotten someone at the first pick. They probably would have gone quarterback. Let's just, in reality, they go somewhere else. They'll still have a pick towards the end of the first round where you can take Lamar. Just imagine that.
Yeah, and that's where they took Rashad Penny, by the way. So,
to be fair,
they could have taken Lamar there. So,
yeah. Wow.
But I mean, it just so that all adds up to me, and I'm glad we're in agreement here that it's the same. I mean, are the Browns dumber than both of them for not trading for Wilson? Or,
well, there's a reason we call that we basically have the term they just Browns'd it type thing. Like this is what they do when you're a perennial losing franchise. You make decisions like this. So it's very simple. They once thought Johnny Manziel was the answer. Then they think Baker Mayfield, who still could be good, maybe. Not sure he's the answer either. So let's be real about it. We've seen the jerseys with like the tape and then tape and then tape for like 40 quarterbacks on the back of it. They're still looking for someone to make it work. What could be really fun, if ESPN just wants to really have ratings off the wall? I haven't watched any of The Last Dance yet. I'm probably one of the few people in America that hasn't
watched
it.
I only watched the first two episodes. I'm behind because I'm finishing up the Black Book chapters. So
yeah, I figure I'm just going to binge it one day, and that's just more of my style of what I want to do. Like, it's great. I saw Jordan when I was a kid. The dude's unreal. Like, it's cool. I'm glad that the youth that didn't see him, that are like all LeBron and Kobe fans, are seeing what we saw. Like, this guy was a killer. But if ESPN wants to maximize viewing time, when episode 10 ends, which is either this weekend or the weekend after, can the following weekend we have a 30 for 30 on how the Bears messed up the 17 draft? That would be great.
can we
see the scouting reports that said Mitchell Trubisky was better than these guys, and like interview someone? They can like black them out with a voice modulator, so we don't know who it is, of why they didn't interview Watson and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say I liked Trubisky. And I still kind of like Trubisky. I think he was just thrust into the starting role too soon. You're right. At North Carolina, I believe he started like 11 games, something like that, at total throughout his collegiate career.
And, like, if he was a third or fourth round pick, this wouldn't even be a conversation, obviously.
Of course. But that
would have even made sense to me. It's
but
like,
it
okay,
also
cool.
wouldn't be a conversation if he just went behind Mahomes and Watson. You know,
yes. Yeah. If he was in the back end of the first round,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. That's very true.
Like, nobody talks about Josh Rosen, right? And Josh Rosen went before Josh Allen and before Lamar Jackson. But nobody talks about Josh Allen because he wasn't number one overall, and he still went behind Darnold and Baker Mayfield. So
fun question for you. Who do you think finishes with a better career, Trubisky or Rosen?
Rosen. Not close.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of people like you that are still hardcore Rosen believers.
I'm not a hardcore Rosen believer because there's a couple things there. Like, number one is I just don't know if he's passionate about football. Like, that was the big question coming in to his stuff. Like, he was polished, but like I went to it was called the Cactus Bowl back then. I went to the Cactus Bowl as UCLA versus Kansas State, and he didn't play. And he didn't play because he had a minor injury. So I thought, okay, that's probably more about, you know, the NFL draft, because this is a nothing game that doesn't matter to him. You know, someone takes his knee out, and, you know, now he drops two or three rounds. So I understand him not playing there, but there was kind of a rumbling in that, too, of does this guy even like, does he even like football? So there's that question. But the skill is there, and he hasn't been set up in any good spots yet. You know what I mean? Arizona was terrible, and Miami was terrible.
And they didn't really give him a chance. But are you trying to tell me that Rosen was looking out for money and his health over something else? So I think that's a storyline these days.
Yeah, it might be. It might be a little bit of a storyline these days, for sure. But there was like, and that's why I kind of ignored those, because I was like, the dude just wants to make his money. So this literally matters nothing to him, this game. So why would he play it? Like, I totally got it. It made complete sense to me. And that's why I kind of scoffed at those, you know, questions about his passion to play football. But now that, you know, he's been kicked around a little bit, I think there are some legit questions to that. But I still believe in his skill. But anyway, I mean, going back to, and I think this is a problem. I would love to see all of the trades that never happened, right? That were on the table, because I don't know if you remember this one, but after Roethlisberger got in trouble the first time, for the rape allegations, the Steelers, I don't know if the offer was ever on the table from Pittsburgh, but I know that the Rams were offering the number one overall pick, who wound up being Sam Bradford, to the Steelers.
Aren't you glad that didn't happen?
I am. Dude, I don't know if there's a quarterback that I dislike more coming out of Oklahoma than Sam Bradford. I think he was my number one seed.
It makes you wonder, like, Sam Bradford, sure, he won some football games. He's great at checking the ball down and everything. He made so much money. It's like, almost, would you rather have Sam Bradford's career or, why did it just skip my the guy that's basically is the backup for New Orleans, then the Bears.
Oh, Bridgewater?
No. I think he played at Mizzou.
Oh, Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniels, who barely ever got hit. Would you rather be Chase Daniels or Sam Bradford? Because you really never amounted to much, but you made millions of dollars.
Chase, yes. Easy. I'm going to remember my name by the end of the week. You know what I mean? So
it's amazing the kind of money those guys got made. And then we're looking at these O-linemen and the running backs that play 4 years and can't get paid. It's pretty wild.
Right. It's nuts, man. And that's the way of the NFL. So some of these decision makers are just absolutely terrible. And that was my big thing is with this argument is, you know, it's free. All you got to do is, you know, schedule an interview with the guy. You get as many interviews as you want. I just cannot believe that they didn't. They must have just seen something that they just really didn't like out of Watson. And for the life of me, I can't imagine what it would be.
Yeah, especially after watching that national title game, what could possibly be in your head that says this kid isn't going to be good, or at least give him a shot type thing? It's mind-blowing. You can't say, well, we didn't want to fly him out or do this. You get to write all that off. So like you said, it's a free interview. Whatever you want to do. Wine and dine him. Don't do it. Talk to him over FaceTime. Whatever you want.
Send him a text. Something.
That is lunacy that took place. And okay, I don't want to keep throwing out questions here. What would be dumber? The Bears not interviewing Watson, or Watson signing a long-term deal with the Texans?
Ooh, no, you know, okay.
That was rumored that Watson's like negotiating a long-term deal with the Texans. I'd want to be so far out of Houston the way I've seen things go.
Okay,
there.
But you know that Bill O'Brien is not long for Houston. So if you like that city and you like the owner and the rest of the organization, but you don't like what Bill O'Brien is doing, I think it's okay to just take your money. You know what I mean? Because, look, he can always, you know, demand a trade and force his way out of Houston and all that stuff if he really wanted to, because there's always going to be a franchise like Cleveland, unfortunately, or whoever else, you know, Chicago right now, who is looking for a franchise quarterback. There's always going to be a team looking. So
it sure feels good not to get the Dolphins mentioned for once.
Just got yours. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, Bubba. Number one selling jersey since the draft, Tua.
Oh, I've already circled the jersey I'm asking for. Like, I try not to buy things ahead of time because everyone gets mad when my birthdays and holidays come around, so I buy what I want. And so I've already circled which one I want.
When's the birthday? When is that coming?
Oh, not until October, but okay. I'm planning ahead here.
Yeah, I got you. So, and I was going to say, or what I said to Welsh was, most letters, you know, you're getting the best deal, because if you had to go get that custom, you know, isn't it like $40 a letter after like five or something?
I would just if I was him, I'd turn into like Prince. I'd just have Tua on it. I wouldn't even worry about Tagovailoa. It would just say Tua.
Like, you'd just say Tua. Yeah, no one's gonna. Everyone, dude. There's this. I was recording with CFB Winning Edge. We were doing the All Big 12, and there's this linebacker for Oklahoma State whose name is just impossible. Just look up the Oklahoma State roster real quick, and you'll see it. It's the guy with the 17 letters in his name. Yep. It's ridiculous. So I was like, yeah, he's just not going to be on my All-Pac-12 team. I'll go with Mike Rose, so that's fine.
Because we know like when Tua's playing on the game, on any TV game, they're just going to call him Tua, because you could literally play a drinking game and take a shot for every time they say Tagovailoa, and you'd be sober probably by the end of the game, because no announcer wants to say that while they're giving the analysis on something.
And I actually felt bad for Goodell. I mean, not really in the long scheme of things. I didn't really feel bad for him, but he was trying so hard to say Tagovailoa's name right when he announced him. And he still butchered it. Like, he called Mariota Mariotto. So, yeah. Marcus Mariotto. Like,
no one ever said Goodell was smart.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the guy's making $40 million a year. He's got to
he's good
somewhere.
At that.
But
being smart and taking care of owners in ways we might not see off screen are two different things.
Well, and there's also just the thing where some people just can't say names, right?
True.
My buddy, it's so funny. My buddy, he doesn't have a stutter or anything. But he just can't say Mitsubishi. Like, and my grandmother couldn't say it either. So, like, Mitsubishi, it's not hard. Just say Mitsubishi. It's not hard. He goes, Mitsubishi. He just has marbles in his mouth for whatever reason.
I had a friend that could never say Minkiewicz, Doug Minkiewicz. That was always a fun one. Oh, yeah. That was always a fun one. We had a baseball draft, and he looked to draft him. He's like, I just want Mint. Give me Mint.
Everyone's like, no, you have to say the full name, sir. Who are you saying here?
Hushamazilla.
Yeah.
Hushamazilla.
It's always the one that everybody goes to. Hushmazode. Hushmazad. Who's your mama? So exactly. I think that was like the first big one where everyone was like, boo, I don't know. So here's this guy's name. I found it. I'm going to spell it out for you here. And you want to type it up. Actually, this is what I'll do. I'll copy it and I'll put it in the chat. So his first name is Amen. A-M-E-N. Amen. So, but here is, let me go to the Skype chat here, and we only have about a minute left. Yeah, take a crack at that name right there, Bubba. You see it?
Amen. Ogbenbiga.
So it's O-G-B Ogbong Bamiga. B-E-M-I-G-A.
Well, once you say it, it makes sense. Ogbon Bamiga. Okay, I can do that.
Bamiga.
Yeah, he just needs to go by Big O.
Yeah, that's the Big O. That's the Big O linebacker. Well, we are going to take a break here and try to figure out how to say his name. And we'll be right back. It is In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Stick with us right back after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Chris Welch
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I am here, Scott Bogman, at Bogman Sports Grid, talking to my friend, Casey Bubba, at BDantric. Casey, plug all the stuff that you have coming up and what you're going on
before. Like usual, the listeners of the show know by now, Benched with Bubba. That's the staple. Two episodes this past week. We finalized our third straight episode of NFBC ADP, did 240 and beyond. It's the big movers over the last month. And then I had Vlad Sedler on. We were just talking strategy with these proposals, and then went over the universal DH because he's written an article on it. I've written an article on it, and we've kind of compared notes and how it's an interesting topic because there's always the just go straight to the power hitter that couldn't play defense that can play, and that's going to happen. Aquino's, Garrett Cooper's of the world. But then it also, like Vlad would make great points where maybe it opens up time for guys like John Birdie, who now either they were a utility role, you get guys days off at the DH, he can move around, stuff along those lines. So go check that out. I did a mock draft recently I wrote about as well at Roto Baller, trying to a little strategy of how I attempted to draft my team from the eighth spot. Go check all that fun stuff out and just follow me on Twitter at BDentric. We'll get that going. And almost did it again, the Fantasy Black Book. Bogman's working on the football edition right now. I did the catchers and relief pitchers for fantasy baseball. I'm pretty sure once we get set in stone, we are playing baseball. Joe will probably update the RPV and all that good stuff. So there's still time to go pick up a great tool to help you draft this season.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. I finished rookies. I'm working on my IDPs now. So almost done with my black book writing here. I'll be done this weekend. So that'll be
such a great feeling.
Yeah, it'll be a big weight off my shoulders for sure. I can finally fire up Red Dead Redemption. I've been waiting on since January.
Have you played the show yet? Didn't you get your show code?
No,
or no?
I'm still waiting on that. I haven't got my show code yet. But I also told Spore, I'm like, just don't send me anything until after I'm done here. You know, just don't want distractions. I have enough distractions as this stuff is all happening. But speaking of distractions, so you talked about this last week on the show, and I just thought that, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, I can't remember, but I thought there was no way the NFL would let this happen. But Dave Portnoy from Barstool, of course, you know, has run Barstool forever, he won the bid to hang out with Goodell in his basement that he put up during the NFL draft. I don't know how much it cost.
I got all that for you.
Yeah, I know that you are, though. So just fill us in on the details and what's going to end up actually happening here.
It's an electric factory. Like we talked about before, he flat out said, I don't care what the price is. I'm mad that the increments aren't larger because I'm just going to pay for this thing. About a day or two before it was final, he literally was tweeting at Rogers saying, hey, I'm the high bidder. You need to bid more to beat me. He was letting him know. And he won it for $250,000. Might be the best $250,000 he's ever spent. It's going to be absolutely awesome. We don't know the details. Like, he's going to want to show up with his camera guy and make footage and all this stuff, obviously. I have a feeling the NFL and Goodell might not want that to happen. But you have to imagine he's going to have, like, all the spyware possible, like little hidden cameras in your buttons, and because he's going to find a way to make content out of this. So that's going to be great. I can't wait to see if he shows up in the clown t-shirt with Goodell's face on it. That'll be good. And the funny thing, it's like, okay, they're going to sit there and watch the game. They're going to have to talk at some point in time. And you'd imagine if someone bought this, the NFL is planning on filming it or covering it or something. So there's got to be something behind it all. I can't wait to see what they talk about. I can't wait to see if they maybe become friends out of this because, you know, all of a sudden, when you start to talk to people and figure things out, things change.
You gain perspective, for sure.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to this whole thing because either way, Portnoy's either going to come out of there with a friend or he's going to come out with some of the best content on the face of the planet to burn Goodell to the ground. Now, so it's going to be great.
If the cameras are on, like, this whole time, right, The cameras are on, and you know, do you think we're gonna get one real moment out of Goodell for this entire thing, or do you think it's gonna be all fake, glad handy, that kind of stuff?
Oh, Goodell's gonna play the game as best he can, but the thing with Portnoy is he's gonna wear him down. It's gonna be one of those where he's not gonna stop. He'll keep poking the bear, and eventually something snaps. I'm not saying Goodell's going to go crazy, but he's going to slip up and say something. He has to. It's going to be so good because Portnoy just does not care. He's got so much vengeance. He's been arrested by Goodell. He's been dragged out of Super Bowls by Goodell. He's had a lot. He's had all the media passes. Barstool can't go to NFL stuff now. It's wild what has taken place there. He's going to want answers, and if he doesn't get answers, he's going to keep poking the bear. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I wonder, like, if there's some type of publicity move here where Goodell says, "Hey, look, I'll double what you gave me for you not to come here. And it's all going to charity. So you look like a terrible person if you say no to that." But, I mean, Portnoy could come over the top of him and say, "Hey, look, I'll pay $1 million to your charity."
Oh, Portnoy flat out said there's no price. Yeah. Like he said he's going. So Goodell can play that game all he wants. I guess he's got more money than Portnoy in the end, but it'd be really fun. The other thing is if they want to have fun with it, I'm not saying you have to make it a pay-per-view, but if you wanted to like $5 a view, they could make so much money on this.
Portnoy
like,
will 100% offer that. He'll say, "Hey, look, my people can set it all up. You know, it can be whatever, $5 per pay-per-view. Everyone can see us hanging out this whole time, and I'm going to ask you questions about, you know, Spygate and all that stuff." Because the original thing that set him off about Goodell was the punishment for Spygate, right? The Deflategate, excuse me.
It was Deflategate. Deflategate. Right. Spygate already had fired up, but it was Deflategate. They were, you know, protecting their boy Tommy and all that good stuff. So it started with that, and then just the constant just, you know, disregard they had for the New England Patriots and all that stuff. So even though they, you know, the NFL built a headquarters at their stadium, for crying out loud. But stuff along those lines that was very, very interesting. And I'm looking forward to it in a big, big way. Because the other thing is, if you really think about it, the way football's going, it's going to be a Monday night game. There's going to be no one in the stands. Most Monday night games stink. So now we have something to really tune in to watch.
A lot of people have this feeling towards Roger Goodell. Mine is wavering a little bit. I don't dislike him as much as I did. But any team that's had a player suspended because of some off-field stuff or even some on-field stuff like that dislikes Roger Goodell. But that's what he gets paid so much money for, is to look by the bad guy. It looked like the bad guy. He has to be the guy to hand out these punishments every single time they happen. So, like, you know, when James Harrison got suspended for repeatedly hitting guys in the head, you know, it did seemingly come out of nowhere what the suspension was, because there were old precedents set, and then he said 6 games. And then when guys were getting suspended for drugs, you know, it was in the bylaws of the agreement, the CBA, that they have to be suspended X, Y, or Z. So you would have Goodell spending some guys for like 8 games for domestic violence, and then a guy got suspended for 4 games because of drugs or whatever it was, or his second time he got 8 games. So it's like, we're going to give this guy the same amount of punishment for smoking pot that this other guy did, you know, beating his wife. So that's the things, the inconsistency of the punishments is what makes everyone so mad at Roger Goodell, but also he's a little bit hamstrung. And, you know, you can't feel bad for him completely because he gets paid in more than enough money. He is compensated
$40 million a year.
The bad guy. Now, look, you know he's taking nothing this year, right? Zero.
Oh, he shouldn't. And I'm, you know what? I'm proud he did that. Like, that's, yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to say that because it should be a pretty no-brainer. He made $40 million for how many years and whatnot.
Right.
You, as weird as it sounds, you can afford to miss 1 year of $40 million. But I'm glad he did that. And it just shows, I don't want to go down the baseball rabbit hole because that just depresses me right now. It just shows how effed up the whole baseball thing is, that we might not get baseball because of owners and their money. That is ridiculous.
Yeah,
absolutely, it's inconceivable.
And I'm glad you said it like that too, because this is, you know, I mean, we already talked a lot about it, but you know, I'm okay. Like, if they hadn't agreed on anything and the owners brought this to them and said, "Hey, you know, now that we're getting things rolling, this is what we want to do financially," but they agreed on it like a month ago. So why back out of it now? So I mean, that's a whole nother.
Garbage. We could do 3 hours on that if you wanted to next week, but it's going to be bad. Like a lot of feelings are going to get hurt in the next week.
Right. Yeah. You're 100% right on that, but hopefully, I really hope that it it shouldn't take, it's going to take almost nothing for Roger Goodell to at least, you know, leapfrog Rob Manfred as far as most hateable commissioners. You know what I mean?
So, and how crazy is it to think that not too long ago, everyone hated Goodell the most.
Everybody hated him.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Browns fans because of Josh Gordon hated his guts. Steelers fans because of Josh Harrison. Patriots fans because of Deflategate. And then everyone else because of Spygate. Like, you know, the sure, it was a lot of punishment for just deflating footballs. I'll admit that, even for the Patriots, who already seemingly had all the advantage in the world. But the Spygate stuff, that it felt like the Patriots almost got out scot-free because, you know, well, we don't have those tapes anymore. They were destroyed. What were they recording? We'll never know. They're gone.
That's another good 30 for 30 someday.
And that's protecting the shield. Yeah, that is protecting the shield, because if people knew, they'd probably be really upset.
Well, and that's one of those, like, Deflategate's one thing. Spygate, tell me what other teams aren't doing stuff like that.
Yeah, Deflategate. Is what that's what Goodell is. And you even told me that, and I hate this, but you even told me that James Harrison was on Barstool today spouting out some nonsense, right?
Yeah, I didn't listen to the interview. I just saw the articles all over the Twitter about a half hour before we started recording. And he was telling me, it was Willie Colon, that he was known for his heavy hits, obviously. And when he Massaqua, or whatever his name was, for the Browns, he took him out and he got fined $75,000 for it. And he had comments like, oh, like, this is in real life. He said that if I knew I was going to get fined like that, I would try to kill him. And so he's always a weird guy like that. But then he also said later that night in the locker room, Tomlin gave him an envelope. Now, they didn't say if it was to pay the fine or whatever, but regardless, Tomlin gave him an envelope for doing what he did.
Right. So, and what that means, and by the way, number one, this is, and here it is, James Harrison on his violent hit on the Browns wide receiver Muhammad Massaquoi in 2010. The G-est thing Tomlin ever did, he handed me an envelope after that, which, you know, to what we're supposed to infer from that is that he...
Bounty gate, basically.
Yeah, it's a bounty, right? So if you knock somebody out of the game, you get some money. But what that could have been was he didn't agree on him getting fined and just paying the fine for him. You know what I mean?
Which in reality, there's so many fines we see that I think teams should just pay for. Not killing players, but a lot of knickknack fines we see. Maybe that's just like a code of conduct in the locker room. It seems weird, but maybe they're saying, hey, you played hard, it's not your fault, we're gonna take care of it type thing.
Right, exactly. And that might have been it too. It might have been like, hey, look, you go out there and hit people, you play the way you're gonna play, and if you get fined this week, I'll pay the fine for you. That might have been it, you know. So we have no idea. And I'm not trying to just defend Tomlin here. Like, if he's out there handing out bounties, he needs to get the Sean Payton suspension. So that's 100% factual. And I'm not going to sit here and defend Tomlin tooth and nail if that is something he's doing, offering out bounties. I think it probably happened way more than just with Hazlitt, or not Hazlitt. It was Greg Williams and
Greg
Sean
Williams.
Payton. But, you know, I can't imagine. I feel like if that was going on, someone else would have said it by now.
James Harrison
would have said it before now.
Yes. Someone would have said it before now. And also Tomlin wouldn't have been the bagman.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Someone else does the dirty work. Like, Sean Payton wasn't handing out the envelopes.
Right.
That's just like plain and simple. You don't have, like, Bill Belichick isn't giving the film to go, hey, go record this over here. That never happens.
Yeah, it just does not happen. So hopefully, and I'm just like...
Maybe it was a birthday card for his kid.
Oh, my God. I just, like, I can already hear the nonsense about this. I'm going to have to deal with this for a while. So
your black book on Monday should be fun.
Yeah, yep. Oh, God. God! Thank you for reminding me about that. That's all Joe's going to want to talk about.
Yep. Oh, I know.
Because everyone has made the Patriots look so bad over the last couple of years. Oh, what is this happening? Like, I was telling the Welsh a while back that I actually got hung up on by a phone screener one time because I called into a radio show. This is Jim Haslett. Jim Haslett got, I think he was providing steroids to players, or he talked about the players doing steroids or something along those lines in the Saints locker room. Another Saints story, but this was after becoming head coach of the Saints before he was the DC in Pittsburgh for years. So he was on the staff for years. So people were talking about, well, he had to have been given the Steelers steroids and blah, 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 blah. Where's the outrage here? Where's the outrage for the Steelers? So I called in to say, why don't you give it a day, you idiot, before you call for everyone to be outraged, right? That was basically what I was calling for. And the phone screener was like, do you think we're the only one reporting this? I'm like, has it been more than today? Stupid. You're being an idiot. That's what I want to tell your guy. I want to tell him how stupid he's being, because you're not even giving people time to be outraged over this.
Yep,
if this is true, and you don't have any facts either, you just say, you just have a quote from Jim Haslett. No research has gone into doing any of this. So, you know, I called in and yelled at the guy, and the phone screener hung up on me because I had better points than him. So,
well, was the Welsh the phone screener because it was his radio station?
No. It wasn't the Welsh. The Welsh definitely would have hung up on me, though. Like, if I wasn't making sense, he'd be like, you know what, Bogman, we're not doing this. Click, it's over. I would have heard dial tone 100%. Yep. And to be fair, I would have done the same to him if it wasn't making any sense.
This is for your own good. Walk away.
Right.
Walk away.
Yeah, I'm doing this because I love you. Click, you know, dial tone. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, these are weird situations. I hope this James Harrison thing doesn't grow, but here we are, you know, talking about it. So I can't imagine that it doesn't, but we got to hit a break. When we come back, we got to talk about these Rams new uniforms. I don't know. I'm going to get Bubba's verdict on them, and I don't even know how I feel about them, but there is other news that I really like about the Monday Night Football booth. So, we're going to take a break. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. You hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It is the last segment. Bogman, Welsh, Casey, Bubba here on the Sports Grid. It's coming to an end. And if you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, or you can just go to inthisleague.com. That will take you to our Patreon, where the Welsh and I are working very hard to keep you entertained. We've got rankings up there. The Welsh is going through all kinds of mock drafts for the baseball draft that's going to happen hopefully in June. It's only going to be 5 rounds. We know that. So he's working on that stuff. He's got prospect ranks, top 500 minor league ranks, and he's got notes on them now on the players as well. So a little profile action there. I have got fantasy football rankings up there. On Monday, I'll be dropping my PPR rankings. And up right now, I have dynasty rankings. And I have a first-year player draft, so rookie rankings as well, plus 2 secret shows a month, group me rooms if you're in there at LT or higher for $10 a month. You know, $10 you get one sport, $20 you get all the rooms that we have, which are more than just sports as well. So we got all kinds of stuff going on there for you. So check out the ITL Patreon if you can, please, patreon.com/ITL Army. But, Bubba, I mean, there's a couple things we got to get to here. Number one, let's just do the Rams uniforms first.
Yes.
Have you seen them?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. And so I feel like I know what your take is on these uniforms. I don't know that I care. Like, they're fine. Yeah. They're not like, I'm not offended by them. People are like, oh, man, you know, Todd Gurley got out just in time because these uniforms are terrible. I don't think they're that bad. They're different. You know, they're still blue and yellow. I mean, how much can you change it, right? So I don't know. Like, do you not like the new Ram logo? Is it the font on the jerseys? What is it about them that you're not really into here?
Well, like, I'm not like massively against them. Like you're talking about, like you're saying, some people are like in a massive uproar about things.
Right.
That's not it so much. I'm just wondering what they really tried to change. I liked the ones they had before. I don't get it, and I don't like the white. I've heard it's called white bone,
yeah,
or whatever. Bone. Yeah, that just doesn't look good. Let's stick with the blues, the yellows. It's just not a logo. I like, and the overall LA logo looks like the Chargers almost. It's a weird dynamic they got going on there. So I don't know what they're trying to do. I thought they already changed their uniforms recently. I know Nike's taking over the world, changing all kinds of things, but I wasn't like appalled by them. But I was definitely not on board of like, what are we doing here? There's way too much trying to go on here to make them look like extra fancy. The way the number goes from like dark yellow to like white, it fades and stuff. It's it makes me wonder if someone was doing something while they made these.
Well, look, I don't think there's any issue with that at all. You know,
no,
I
mean, I'm not judging that.
People gotta live, of course, Bubba. I don't want to judge anyone else. I would do that. Definitely.
It's a judge-free zone here, unless your name's Roger Goodell or Rob Manfred. Judge-free zone.
Judgment-free zone for us, for sure.
Yes.
You know what? I'm just gonna say I like them. The font is okay of the numbers. That's always a big thing to me. I don't know why. Like, I'm not a fashion person at all, and to be honest, I don't really care about jerseys that much.
No.
I know that some people get super into them. You know, they're like, oh, look at all these new awesome Oregon unis and the new Nike this, the new Nike that. And that's all fine to me. I don't, you know, people are into what they're into. But I think they're okay. I just like the traditional all blue. I like
yes.
the all blue better than I like the bone color. Like the all white unis for any
looks
team,
bad. I don't like it at all.
I don't know that it's a bad look. It's just such, it's so basic. You know?
Yes, that's good. That's a good way. It's boring.
Yeah, it's boring. So let's. You know, I always enjoyed the Color Rush unis and that kind of stuff.
Are we gonna really go to Color Rush? Are we doing this right now?
Well, the Color Rush was fun. Like, and I like the block lettering that the Steelers had with the yellow helmets. I always liked those. More than I like any other Steelers jersey. So, but I kind of like. I think the thing that I like the most is I actually like the new Ram logo, like the horn logo on the helmet.
The helmet looks cool. The other logo, not so much about. And then I'm really getting nervous because I know it's been coming for a while. You've seen it in the NBA and other places, like the IKEA logo on the jersey that we saw. We haven't really seen, unless I didn't notice it, the other jerseys like Buccaneers, Falcons, and stuff that have come out. I didn't notice any advertisements on them already. So that's something that's going to be interesting to watch going forward.
You know, I'm not a big fan of that, but what I'll say is if it gets rid of commercials during the games, they can look like goddamn NASCAR drivers.
Hey,
as far
how
as
about the MLB take a note on this? Put some stuff on these jerseys while they play ball, and we don't have to worry about money anymore. Let's go.
Yeah. Maybe each player can. How about each player is allowed to rent out their jersey and put something on it, whether it's a name of a company that they like, or maybe they personally own. Or they can rent it out to someone and make some money.
Put your
back
Twitch
that
number
way.
On there or something.
Yeah. Your Twitch address, whatever it is.
Your lawyer on there. It's going to be an expensive few weeks. You can get paid back. It's going to be fun.
100%, man. Like, you're giving free advertisement out because everybody's going to be watching baseball as soon as it's, starting to play. So I'm all about that. So I just wanted to get your, let me ask you this. Do you think Alex Smith is offended by the bone color?
Oh, you went there, dude.
Oh, wait, come on.
You make fun of my dad jokes, and you go to there.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought that was fairly clever. It wasn't a pun. It was a dude snapped his bone in half.
Would you say they look bad to the bone?
Oh, come on. See, that's the stuff. That's the stuff that's not okay, Bubba. Right there. Come on.
Another one if you want to do it for the after-hour show.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think you're good enough to you can replace Booger in the Monday Night Football booth now with that show.
I'd be honored. Can I ride in the mobile, or do I have to sit in the booth?
No, you have to sit in the booth. The Booger mobile is gone. That has to be dead.
But it probably wouldn't hold me, actually.
Well, it holds Booger, so it's going to hold you for sure. But, yeah, I mean, Joe Tessitore and Booger out for Monday Night Football. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, well, I'll be totally honest. Monday nights, if I was watching Monday Night Football, it was usually on mute. So, excited about that a bit. But then again, I'm not going to get super excited because every time they've replaced a team here in recent years, we think, X, Y, or Z is going to show up and be awesome, and they can never get the people to make it awesome. Like, I've been a Pat McAfee guy through and through. Like, I love what he does. I love the energy, the goofiness he brings to the booth. I think he'd be great. I think ESPN and the NFL are terrified of that. And it's going to be very hard to get him in there. I think he'd be amazing because what they did on Thursday Night Football for college football this past year, him and Amin and Hasselbeck, it wasn't like the A-team by any means. They were definitely pretty raw and green, but they were entertaining as all get-up. And maybe they're better off for college. I don't know. But I want something like that. Give me something to entertain me because, let's be honest, we talked about the schedule a little bit last time, and I know you probably looked at it some more. Monday Night Football games usually stink. Like, most of them are not good these days.
I think Monday Night Football, they're better than Thursday Night Football.
Yeah,
so,
a million times better. On paper, they're making good matchups. It just doesn't pencil out that way. And Sunday night gets the flex. Monday night can't, so you get kind of hamstrung there. That happens. But there's been a lot of bad Monday night games, and a good booth can help a long ways there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, I know Pat McAfee has been kicked around. Some people say that he's a little bit too unpredictable. I think that's what they need, though, right?
Yep.
Like, people make fun of Booger because he says the most obvious stuff. It's the same reason why people made fun of Madden. You know what I mean? It was, if he catches the ball in the end zone, he'll have a touchdown. Like, yeah, we know. So, that's
a team that scores more points wins the game.
Right. It's always the obvious stuff. Like, that was the old Caliendo joke talking about Madden. Who was, he would always say the most obvious stuff. And I got to be honest, and I know people, this might be the most controversial thing I ever said on this show, but I was never a fan of Pat Summerall. I thought he was a great band, a good person, but I was never a fan of Pat Summerall. I thought he was the most boring ass announcer that I've ever heard in my life. There was no excitement that came out of his voice. And when they did Madden, he was even more boring because back in the day, it was like the same 17 sayings. In Madden, they spent maybe 30 minutes recording stuff for this, and he's like, he's going to take it all the way. Yep. Touchdown, 49ers. It was just, that was the way it was. Touchdown, New York Giants. it was
true.
So boring.
It's true. He was basically there, I think, to steer the ship for Madden. Like, he's the Robin to Batman. He's there to make sure they hit the brakes. They got the proper score announced once in a while. So when Madden went down one of his rabbit holes, everything was brought back to normal.
This is what I heard. I heard, Todd Gurley leading the league in rushing yards. Now, you see, he's leading the rushing in rushing because he has the most yards per carry and per game. And it was like, we all know that. We all know this. This is not new. So, those guys used to drive me crazy. I didn't, Madden was better than Summerall, obviously, I thought, because his mind was so good, but he would just say some of the most obvious stuff sometimes. That was just crazy. But he, one of the best football minds ever. I mean, I read John Madden's book, too. So he had much more to say than he did in the booth, of course.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, and that's where the bus came from. Everyone wonders where the bus came from. It's because Madden refused to fly, afraid of flying, afraid of heights. There was a whole chapter about how he met his wife out here. There is a, God, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. But there is a restaurant that is in the top of a, you know, a tall building, and it rotates. And
Stratosphere?
That's not it. I can't remember the name of it, though. But that, I think that's the one in Vegas, right? Isn't that the Stratosphere?
Right. And, so, and Seattle, I believe, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they have the Space Needle in Seattle. Gotcha. Yeah. So, but there's a rotating restaurant. It's like at the very top of this building. It's this big circle. I mean, if you go downtown, you can point it out anytime. You can see it. And it spins. You know, and I remember there was a whole chapter of him meeting his wife up there and it making him sick and all this stuff. So, like, he has a great inner voice, but it never came through on Monday Night Football. But this has been the problem is, you know, for whatever reason, they keep trying these new people on Monday Night Football and they keep not working. And, you know, I'm never going to feel bad for ESPN, but it's like they tried to pull Romo away and CBS is like, nope, he ain't going anywhere. We're going to give him too much money. And they tried to pay Peyton Manning all the money, and he was like, nah, I got better stuff to do. Yep. So
then they tried to pay Drew Brees. Brees already signs a deal with NBC before he's even retired from football. Like, no one wants to go to ESPN at all.
Right, exactly. So
maybe they do what Thursday Night Football did, who they used, what, the Fox booth? And maybe they just, like, hire CBS or something to do the Monday night game, and they stream it on both sites or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think it would just be good for them to get someone good in there. I know a lot of people, I'm not a Tirico fan at all. I don't like Mike Tirico. So, but I know a lot of people do. So if that is a popular consensus, why not put him in there? Have him be the play-by-play guy again and then get a good color commentator or two. You know, if you think you need to, that's fine. But, like, we've just seen this for so long. Remember Tony Kornheiser got a year?
Oh, it was brutal. What was the
Dennis
comedian's
Miller?
Name? Dennis Miller, that was something else. My goodness.
Dennis Miller got a year? Like,
that was bad. That was bad. It's like, it's weird. And the Tirico thing, he'd make sense, but I think ESPN and him, I don't think they split on the best terms now that he's with NBC and Golf Channel and everything. To bring him back is probably going to be a pretty penny to bring Tirico back. I think they might have a better chance of getting Dan Patrick in the booth, no? But there's definitely avenues to take. I think they just need to get younger. They need to start embracing the gambling side of it, the fantasy side of it, and I think it can go a long ways.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, just the old guard of hating fantasy and hating, not wanting to mention betting, it just makes me roll my eyes so hard. I just remember, like, and I never liked him anyway, but I remember Bob Costas saying there was some contest on NBC. The winner of some fantasy contest got to spend the day with the Sunday night football group. And Bob Costas was a sideline guy at this time. He's like, oh, that's exactly what we want. Some fantasy nerd in here for the next 5 hours. And I was like, dude, yeah, I mean, you have to respect all avenues of getting eyes to watch your game or your show that you're on.
And if only he knew one day he'd be a meme for getting pink eye at the Olympics. He might not have said those things.
Yeah, exactly. So, I always found Bob Costas to be smarmy, and I never really liked him anyway. But that was really like – this stuff happened like 10 years ago. I don't remember when it happened. It was a long time ago, but I just remember him saying that and me going, what a jerk. What are you thinking?
Like, he thinks his nose is in the air very high. He's king of the world.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I read his book, too. But last thing
you read a lot more than I think. Sorry. I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, that's insulting, but it's okay. It's fine. last thing we have to talk about before we go is Jay Cutler getting a divorce and what his wife said. What's his wife's name again? Kristen
Cavallari from The Hills. Yes.
I never saw The Hills once. So
yeah,
I don't
it's
know
cool.
what that is.
You were reading. I get it.
Yeah, I was too busy reading Bob Costas' smarmy book. So
yes, exactly.
I loved it that she's getting divorced and then called him lazy and then asked him for more money.
Yep.
And he said, no, get a job, which I thought was very, very funny, too. But is anyone surprised by Jay Cutler getting divorced and being labeled as a lazy person?
No, this is amazing because I watch the Very Cavalier with my wife, and Jay Cutler's the best thing to happen to it. Like he is amazing on that show.
Is he just ridiculous. Like a lump of S? Does he just sit around doing nothing?
He doesn't care. He plays with the animals in the back. He has fun. He went canoeing and lost his phone in the water. Like the dude is awesome. And I could see this foreshadowing coming because they were fighting on the show and stuff. But it was great. And when he tells her to get a job because she has like three stores that she's opened for her jewelry store basically because of him. And all this is happening. I'm sorry, the guy made over $100 million getting his brains bashed in. If he wants to chill for a bit, I think that's cool. Just throwing it out there. But I'm a big fan of how this is playing out because Cutler's just kind of being quiet while she keeps throwing jab after jab out there. It's very entertaining to me.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, Jay Cutler is just the antithesis for I do not care. So
he might be the next Monday Night Booth. Just throw it out there.
That's fine, too. Hey, look, that would get him out of the house once a week, right?
So
I'm fine with Jay Cutler being in the booth. I think that would be very entertaining, much better than a lot of other people that we mentioned. But that's going to put a bow on it for us today. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we will see you guys next Saturday. Take it easy, everybody.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.